Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com. And we're continuing in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 51. In this study, we will cover verses 41 through 45. Let me begin by reading the verses, and then going into the introduction, and then taking each verse one at a time, and then completing with a conclusion. Well, let's begin. I'm going to begin at verse 41 and read through verse 45 of Jeremiah 51. How is Sheshach taken, and how is the praise of the whole earth surprised? How has Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? The sea has come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. And I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up, and the nations shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver you every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. In these verses of Jeremiah 51, we find the theme in the exclamation, how was Sheshach taken? Since we will find that Sheshach is just another name for Babylon, our theme is the exclamation, how is Babylon taken? And then it is revealed just how Babylon is taken. First, we will find that the sea is come up upon Babylon. She is covered with a multitude of the waves thereof. Obviously, this doesn't mean that Babylon is covered with the literal sea. So what does it mean? Then, we are told that Babylon is taken in that her cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither does any son of man pass thereby. What does all this mean? Next, we find how Babylon is taken in that Yahweh will punish Bel, that is the chief Babylonian god, in Babylon. And he will bring forth out of his, that is Bel's mouth, that which he, that is Bel, has swallowed up. And the nations shall not flow together any more unto him, that is unto Bel. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. What is it that Bel has once swallowed up that Yahweh will bring forth out of Bel's mouth? And why is it that the nations will no longer flow together any more unto Bel? And what does it mean that the wall of Babylon shall fall? Then last, we find that in the context of Babylon being taken, that Yahweh says, my people, go ye out of the midst of her, that is out of Babylon, and deliver you every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. Obviously, this is an exhortation for God's people, the elect, to come out of Babylon. But what exactly does it mean for the elect to come out of Babylon? These questions and more we will answer today as we go verse by verse in this study. May our great God and King, the Lord Jesus Christ, now enlighten us with his truth. Amen. Well, let's take each verse one at a time and look more closely at them. Beginning at verse 41 of Jeremiah 51, it reads once again, "How is Sheshach taken? And how is the praise of the whole earth surprised? How is Babylon become an astonishment among the nations?" In this verse, we first read, "How is Sheshach taken?" The word translated as Sheshach means "thy fine linen," and it is just another name for Babylon. We can see this in this very verse itself. First, we read, "How is Sheshach taken? And how is the praise of the whole earth surprised?" Then, in the parallel clause, we read, "How is Babylon become an astonishment among the nations?" So, Sheshach that is taken is being equated to Babylon that has become an astonishment among the nations. So that the first part of our verse can read, "How is Sheshach, that is Babylon, taken?" And since Babylon refers to the world, including all the churches, we are being told that the world and all the churches are taken. And when were they taken? Why, they were taken on May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day began and any possibility for eternal salvation came to an end. This guaranteed that they would all not be eternally saved and that they would all remain spiritually dead, as well as making it certain that they would all perish on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in, when all those who are in the graves and unsaved, and all those who still remain and are unsaved, will be brought forth to damnation to be burned up in the fires of annihilation forever. Now, the next part of our verse reads, "And how is the praise of the whole earth surprised?" The word translated as surprised is better translated as captured. So our verse reads, "And how is the praise of the whole earth captured?" The praise of the whole earth, of course, is Babylon. And Babylon is said to be the praise of the whole earth because Babylon, this world, has achieved so much. They have made great strides forward in medicine, in transportation, in military defense, in aerospace, in computer science, and just technology in general. Indeed, remarkable things have been accomplished in just about every field we can think of in only the last 100 years. So the people of this world praise Babylon, that is this world, for all the incredible things that they have achieved. But even so, Babylon, that is this world, including all the churches, is captured in their greatness, for none of its people can any longer be eternally saved. That's right. All of Babylon's greatness is soon to be destroyed in annihilation of the last day. It will not be carried on into eternity, but it has an end. And that end will come with fire to burn up Babylon to the utmost. Her praise will soon be ashes, and her ashes will blow away with the wind, never to be found again. But what does it mean that Babylon, this world, including all the churches, is captured? Well, basically, it means the same thing as Sheshach is taken. It means that Babylon has been taken or captured in that it now has no possibility for eternal salvation. And it will relatively soon be destroyed forever on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Yes, Babylon is captured. No longer can any of its people be eternally saved ever. No longer will it be able to stand. It will be cast down forever. Now our verse continues. How is Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? How has Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? The word translated as astonishment can be translated as desolation, horror, or appallment. So our verse can read, how is Babylon become a desolation, horror, or appallment among the nations? This is simply an exclamation of how Babylon, this world, including all churches, has become so horrible or desolate in the nations because all hope for eternity has been removed from their midst ever since May 21, 2011. As far as eternity is concerned, they have no future. The most they can hope for is a good life in this world, but insofar as they're looking for eternal life, there is no possibility. Instead, they will all soon become extinct forever after suffering the fires of annihilation. Well, let's move on to verse 42. Verse 42 of Jeremiah 51. It reads, the sea is come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Here we first read, once again, the sea has come up upon Babylon. The sea in the Bible can refer to the world or the unsaved people of the world. And you can click on the link, Revelation 16, and scroll down to verse 3 to see this. But it can also refer to hell, depending on the context. Remember when Jesus cast the unclean spirits into the herd of pigs? And they all ran over the cliff into the sea. We read of this in Matthew 8, where we read in verses 31 through 32. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of pigs. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of pigs. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. In this account, the pigs represent the unsaved in whom the devils were cast. And when they run off the cliff down into the sea, it is a picture of the unsaved and the devils going into hell. The sea represents hell or death. Or consider when the Israelites walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. But on the other hand, Pharaoh's armies were drowned in the Red Sea. This is a picture of God's people escaping hell, that is the waters of the sea, but Satan and all the unsaved being drowned in hell, that is the waters of the sea. So once again, we see that the sea represents hell or death. So, returning to our verse, when it states that the sea is come up upon Babylon, it means that hell and death has come up upon Babylon. That is, ever since May 21, 2011, hell is come up upon this world and upon all the churches because none of the people in them can any longer be eternally saved. This ensures that they will all perish on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Yes, the sea, that is hell, is come upon them all. But not only is the sea come up upon Babylon, but we read, she, that is Babylon, is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. That is, not only has the sea, that is hell, come up upon Babylon, this world, including all churches, But Babylon is being drowned by hell, by the multitude of the waves thereof in this day of judgment, ever since May 21, 2011. And how is Babylon being drowned by hell? Well, since hell is synonymous with death, she is being surrounded and drowned by death because, first, she is already spiritually dead. And second, she is relatively soon to become physically dead as well on the last day of Judgment Day, in which we now find ourselves, when the Lord will bring forth all the dead from the graves and the walking dead that still remain to be annihilated forevermore. Yes, Babylon is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Now, moving on to verse 43 of Jeremiah 51, verse 43, we read, "Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby." Here in this verse, we first read, "Her cities are a desolation." This word translated as desolation can be translated as a waste, an appallment, or even a horror. So our verse can read, "Her," that is Babylon's cities, that is the populated areas of Babylon, "are a desolation, a waste, an appallment, or a horror." And how has Babylon's cities become a desolation, a waste, an appallment, or a horror? Well, we know the answer, because the people of Babylon, this world, including all churches, are now, ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, without any possibility for eternal salvation. Therefore, they are all guaranteed to remain spiritually dead in Adam, and they are all certain to perish on the relatively soon-to-come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. So, in this way, Babylon has become a desolation, a waste, an appallment, or a horror. But we also read that her cities are a dry land. Her cities are a dry land. This means there's no water in the cities of Babylon. And since water symbolizes the spiritual waters of eternal life, it means that there's no eternal life taking place in the cities of Babylon because the land is dry. So what we have is another verse that supports eternal salvation having come to an end. In fact, the more we study the Bible, the more we find these verses scattered all over the place. There should be no doubt that eternal salvation has ended, because there are a multitude of verses to support this. Here are a few of them, and you can click on all of these links. Some of these are verses we've already looked at, we've already studied, and seen that they do support the fact that eternal salvation has come to an end. Next, our verse continues by saying that Babylon's cities are not only a dry land, but a wilderness. The word translated as wilderness can be translated as desert. So our verse now reads that her Babylon's cities are a desert. And this is quite understandable because there are no waters of eternal life in Babylon's cities. Therefore, spiritually, her cities are a desert. Now we are further told that Babylon's cities are a land where no man dwells. A land where no man dwells. But how can this be, since we see in Babylon, that is in this world, including all churches, that she has billions of people dwelling in her? Well, we need to look at the spiritual meaning of this verse. It is not saying that no one physically dwells in the cities of Babylon, but it means that no one spiritually dwells in the cities of Babylon, because no one is becoming saved. And this we can see in that everyone who is a part of Babylon is spiritually dead in Adam, with no possibility of coming to spiritual life. And spiritually, a dead person cannot dwell anywhere. Therefore, Babylon cities can be said to be a land where no man dwells, because no one is coming to spiritual life. But they are all certain to remain spiritually dead until when they will all be destroyed on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Then, finally, our verse ends by saying that Babylon's cities are not only a land where no man dwells, but neither does any, or it could be translated, neither does a son of man pass thereby. Neither does a son of man pass thereby. The word any is not in the Hebrew text. The phrase son of man is most commonly used about Christ in the Bible. So that we are being told, so what we're being told is that neither does a son of man, that is Christ, pass thereby. In other words, Christ is not to be found around the cities of Babylon, and if Christ is nowhere to be found, he does not pass thereby. Then we know that eternal salvation is nowhere to be found either, since Christ is necessary for eternal salvation. So once again, we have here clear teaching. I mean, God just drives this point home over and over again. We have clear teaching for the end to eternal salvation during Judgment Day. And because Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, according to the proven biblical calendar, and you can click on the link proven to see how it is proven, we know with absolute certainty that eternal salvation is no longer possible for anyone in this world, including in all the churches, that is Babylon. Moving on to verse 44 of Jeremiah 51. Let's look at verse 44 of Jeremiah 51. It reads, "And I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. And the nations shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall." Here we first read, "And I will punish Bel in Babylon." Bel was one of Babylon's chief deities or gods, who is a type or picture of Satan himself. So what our verse is telling us is that Yahweh will punish Satan in Babylon, that is in this world, including all the churches, during Judgment Day. And indeed, Satan has been punished both in the world and in the churches ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Yes, he has been cast down from his rulership over the world and the churches, as Christ now rules over them both with a rod of iron. And he will soon be thoroughly destroyed. That is, Satan will soon be thoroughly destroyed in the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Yes, Satan has been punished already, but he will soon be punished to death, to his death, forever. But next, Yahweh says, "And I will bring forth out of his mouth," that is out of Satan's mouth, "that which he has swallowed up." What does this mean? Who or what did Satan swallow up? When we think back to the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988, to May 21, 2011, we can say with absolute certainty what it was that Satan swallowed up before Judgment Day began. He swallowed up the elect in the churches. Remember, the elect were spiritually killed, that is, silenced in all the churches, by being ignored, looked down upon, gossiped about, shunned, and just treated as if they had all been cast out of the churches, which in some cases they actually were. All this was because Satan had been given rule over all the churches as judgment against them, so that he was able to spiritually kill or swallow up the elect in the churches. But now, in Judgment Day, we are being told that Yahweh brings forth that which Satan had swallowed up, which means that Yahweh is bringing up the elect once again, but this time in their own spiritual land apart from the churches. It is this spiritual land which will continue into the new heaven and earth where the elect will dwell for all eternity. So in that Yahweh says that he will bring forth out of his, that is Satan's mouth, that which he has swallowed up, means he will bring forth the elect who during the great tribulation were spiritually killed or swallowed up by Satan, but who are now being brought forth under their own spiritual land in preparation for transition into the new heaven and earth to be manifest on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day. And I have to remind us that we're now in that. So no matter how we look at it, it cannot be that far away. If it be a few years, or if it be 10 years, that's still very few. We don't know exactly when at this point it's going to happen. It could happen tomorrow. Could happen today. But we know it's going to happen. There is going to be an end, and we know we are right at the end. We are very, very close. Now our verse continues by saying, "And the nations shall not flow together any more unto him." That is, "And the nations shall not flow together any more unto Satan." You see, before Judgment Day began, peoples from all the various nations were flowing unto Satan because he ruled both the world and the churches ever since the Great Tribulation began on May 21, 1988. And peoples from all the various nations flowed unto Satan in all the churches to worship him, thinking that he was God. But then, when Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, Satan was deposed from ruling over the world and churches, so that no longer did the nations flow together under him. So the nations would not flow together anymore unto Satan because he no longer ruled over the world and the churches once Judgment Day began. Oh yes, it still appears as though Satan is ruling the world and the churches as he has been permitted to continue for a season and time, Daniel 7:12. But officially, he is no longer ruling over the churches, so it can no longer be said that the nations flow unto him in the churches. Rather, the nations now flow unto Christ, who is ruling the churches, though, and the world with a rod of iron, in which eternal salvation is no longer possible. Well, finally, our verse ends by saying, "Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall." Literally, it simply reads also, "The wall of Babylon has fallen." Now, for the wall to have fallen means that Babylon no longer is protected from its enemies, as the purpose for having walls was to do just that. And if Babylon is no longer protected by its wall, Babylon's salvation from her enemies is no longer possible, for walls were the salvation of the peoples from their enemies. So for Babylon to no longer have a wall means that there's no longer salvation in the land. And spiritually, this points to that there is no longer eternal salvation in the land. Indeed, to have a wall symbolizes the one that one has eternal salvation possible, but to not have a wall symbolizes that eternal salvation is no longer possible. So when we read that the wall of Babylon has fallen, it means that eternal salvation is no longer possible for the people of Babylon. That is, eternal salvation is no longer possible for the peoples of the world and the churches. What we have here, then, is further support for eternal salvation having to come to an end ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Well, before moving on to our next verse, I want to make a comment at this point. We have been working through Isaiah 13 and then Jeremiah 15, and now we're almost done with Jeremiah 51. As we have carefully examined these scriptures, we have found a multitude of verses that either support or clearly teach that eternal salvation has ended in our days. And the old saying is that if it looks like a duck and acts like a duck and sounds like a duck, it must be a duck. Likewise, we have found a multitude of scriptures that look and sound like salvation has come to an end. What are you going to do with all these? Are you going to continue to doubt that eternal salvation has ended? Or are you going to see the obvious, namely, that eternal salvation has ended? It is a duck. So let's stop walking on the fence and stand firm on what the scriptures so clearly teach. Salvation has come to an end, and there is nothing we can do about it, no matter how hard we might like it to be different. Okay, having said that, let's move on to our last and final verse that we'll cover in this study. Verse 45 of Jeremiah 51, it reads, "My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver you every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord." Here, we first read, "My people, go you out of the midst of her." This is a clear proclamation for Yahweh's people to depart out of the midst of Babylon. And since Babylon includes both the world and all the churches, remember that the churches had become a part of Babylon ever since they were given over to Satan as judgment against them on May 21, 1988. We, the elect, are being told to depart out from the world as well as all the churches. To depart out of the churches means we are to separate ourselves away from all churches. But to depart out of the world means that we are to spiritually separate ourselves from the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John 2:16. We cannot physically depart out of the world, as we can the churches, but nevertheless we can spiritually depart out from the world by not involving ourselves in the things of the world, such as the lust of the flesh and eyes and the pride of life, or any sin. Now, there are other scriptures which teach the same thing, that the elect are to depart out from all the churches. This isn't just a one-verse thing. This is in a lot of different places of scripture. For instance, we read in Revelation 18:4, in the context of Babylon having fallen on May 21, 2011, we read in verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, that is out of Babylon the great, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." And we read in the typological Old Testament account in Jeremiah 51, "And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He that abides in this city," that is Jerusalem, which typifies the corporate church. So he that abides in the church, that continues to abide in the church, shall die by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. But he that goes out and falleth to the Chaldeans, also known as the Babylonians, which typify the peoples of the world that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey. For I have set my face against this city, that is against all the churches, for evil, and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, that is Satan, and he shall burn it with fire. And that's what he did during the Great Tribulation. Then in the Gospels, we have three different passages that command the elect to come out from all the churches. First, we read in Matthew 24, verses 15 through 18. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, that is Satan, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, that is in the corporate church. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea, that is in the churches, flee into the mountains, that is to God. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes. I should say something about that. It's a clear admonishment for us never to go back to the churches. And let him which is in the field not return back to take his clothes. Not return back. Him that's in the field would be the one that's out in the field doing the work of the Lord, proclaiming the gospel, or doing the work of the Lord during the day of judgment. We're told to not to return back to the churches to get our clothes. Now, clothes are a picture of a covering for the body. A covering. It represents the covering of salvation. So we're not to go back to the churches for salvation. Why? Because there is no salvation there. It's the time of judgment. It's the day of God's wrath. It's the day when judgment has begun with the house of God. Now we read another verse in the Gospels about coming out of the churches in Mark 13. Now these are written in parables, I know. But the elect can understand these parables. In Mark 13:14, but when you shall see the abomination of desolation, we know that Satan, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, and where it ought not, we know, is in the churches. Satan ought not to be standing or ruling in the churches. But let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea, that is in the churches, flee to the mountains, that is to God. The mountains are symbolic of God in the Bible, and I'm not going to go into details about that here. But if you study mountains, you'll see that they point to God, and Judea points to the land of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is the city of God, which was the type or figurement of the churches of God. So when it says, then let them that be in Judea, that it means let them who be in the churches flee to the mountains, that is to God. And here we go again. Let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house. Him who's on the housetop is the one shouting the words of God. But don't let him return unto the house of God, because the house of God is under wrath. Neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. Clear teachings for us not to ever go back to the churches. And we have even one last passage in Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 21. And when you shall see Jerusalem, that is the churches, compassed with armies, and these are the armies of Satan, surrounding and beginning to spiritually destroy all the churches by false gospels and teachings, then know that the desolation thereof is near. Then let them which are in Judea, that is in the churches, flee to the mountains, that is to God. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out and listen. Let not them that are in the countries, that is out in the world, in the nations, enter thereinto. Don't go into the churches. Ever since the churches became Satan ruling, began to rule all the churches, was in 1998, but he had taken them all over by September 7th, 1994. By that time, no one should ever enter a church again, because the wrath of God came upon the churches in order to bring judgment. Judgment begins with the house of God, and it certainly did, according to our biblical calendar, that I want to say it once again, is proven, greatly proven. If you really study and take the time and hard effort to study the proofs, you know that that calendar cannot be wrong. So given all these verses, we see that there is a clear mandate for all the elect to depart out from all churches after May 21, 1988, when the Great Tribulation began upon the churches as judgment against them for all their false gospels and teachings. And I refer you to the biblical calendar, and you can click on that link, and you can also click on the link Proofs to check out the proofs. Now our verse continues by not only exhorting Yahweh's people to go out of the midst of Babylon, that is out of the midst of the world, including all churches, but it also gives the reason why they are to go out from Babylon. It is to deliver every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. In other words, as judgment against all the churches in the world, Yahweh's fierce anger has come upon them. And so, that the elect do not experience his wrath on the churches, they have all been commanded to come out from their midst, which most of them did between the years 2000 and 2002 AD, but all of them did so by the beginning of Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, to escape the fierce anger of Yahweh. All who now remain in the churches are under Yahweh's wrath, and any possibility for eternal salvation has been removed from their midst. They are all now destined to destruction on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Well, in conclusion, the theme of this study is, how is Sheshach, that is Babylon, taken? And just how Babylon is taken is, first, that the sea has come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. This we found meant that hell and death has come up upon Babylon. And it has covered Babylon in that the peoples of this world and all the churches no longer have the possibility of being eternally saved. They are chained in remaining spiritually dead, and they will all relatively soon be destroyed in the fires of annihilation on the last day of Judgment Day that I can't overemphasize that we are now in. Then we found that Babylon is taken and that her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwells, neither does any son of man pass thereby. In that Babylon's cities are dry land means that they are without the spiritual water that brings eternal salvation. And in that Babylon's cities are a wilderness means that they are a desert, a dry place, once again without the spiritual water that brings eternal salvation. Furthermore, in that Babylon's cities are a land wherein no man dwells means that they are a place where everyone is spiritually dead, and thus incapable of spiritually dwelling anywhere. Therefore, in this sense, Babylon's cities are a land in which no man dwells, because everyone in them is spiritually dead. Finally, in that Babylon's cities are a land in which neither does any son of man pass thereby, means that Christ, the Son of Man, is nowhere to be found in Babylon or in Babylon's cities or around them, which means there's no possibility of being eternally saved in Babylon, because salvation comes only through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ cannot be found. Next, we found that Babylon is taken in that Yahweh will punish Baal in Babylon, and he will bring forth out of Baal's mouth that which Baal has swallowed up, and the nations shall not flow together any more unto him, that is, unto Baal. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. In that Yahweh will punish Baal in Babylon was fulfilled in May 21, 2011, when Yahweh deposed Satan from any longer ruling over the world and the churches, as Satan awaits his annihilation on the last day. And in that Yahweh will bring forth out of Baal's mouth that which Baal has swallowed up means that Yahweh would bring forth the elect who were spiritually killed or swallowed up by Satan during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. And in fact, Yahweh is bringing forth the elect ever since May 21, 2011 to dwell in their own spiritual land, which will transition into the new heaven and earth on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in. Furthermore, in that the nations shall not flow together anymore unto Baal, that is unto Satan, was fulfilled when judgment day began, because Satan was then deposed from ruling over the world and the churches, so that the peoples of the world and the churches are no longer flowing unto him to worship him, but they are flowing unto Christ, who now rules the world and the churches. But unfortunately, he rules it with a rod of iron, whereby it's no longer possible to be eternally saved through him. Finally, in that the wall of Babylon shall fall was fulfilled on May 21, 2011, when the wall of salvation in Babylon fell, so that it became no longer possible for the peoples of Babylon to be eternally saved. Now, in the midst of Babylon, that is the churches being taken during the Great Tribulation, from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, Yahweh says, "My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver you every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord." This means that the elect are to come out from the world by turning away from all sin, and to come out from all the churches by leaving them and never going back, to deliver every man his soul from the fierce anger of Yahweh. For the time has come that judgment must begin with the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? 1 Peter 4:17. Now until the next time, may Yahweh through our Lord Jesus Christ bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.